Tuesday, August 2nd together. Open a work session on several bills. First to be House Bill 5019, Criminal Fines Assessment Account.
What are you reading?
Oh, wait a minute. I'm on the wrong one. Sorry. Work session on... I'll start over. Work session on... I apologize.
Just making sure everyone's paying attention out there.
only I'm the one, not. Work session on House Bill 2122B relating to forest products harvest taxation. Susie?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This bill extends the period for which the forest harvest taxes are imposed and establishes rates for that period. We have two amendments for that bill. One is to set the harvest tax for forest practices at 55 cents per thousand board feet to align with the budget that was approved by the House and the Senate last week or so, and to authorize the Department of Forestry to charge a fee for administering the reforestation tax credit program. I've attached the fiscal impact for primarily to address the reforestation tax credit program. The agency estimates that it would take about $91,000 in personal services to implement, to administer the program, and they would also estimate about $298 per credit to collect enough money for that administration. And I wanted to point out to you that on page 2, I've noted that the governor's recommended budget and the budget that was approved included $392,344 and 2.37 FTE for this reforestation tax credit program, and I've asked the department to be prepared to explain to you the difference between this estimate for charging a fee and the policy package that they asked be approved for the same program.
Thank you.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Representative Morgan.
I move the dash B5 amendments into House Bill 2122 and move that the bill as amended be passed to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Morgan moves the B5 amendments and recommends the amended bill be passed to the full with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objections? Objections, so ordered. Senate Bill 5514, Capital Construction from the Department of Higher Ed. Oh, I'm sorry, Carrier. Representative Morgan. Steve.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Senate Bill 5514 is the bill for capital construct that approves capital construction projects and the financing of those projects in the Department of Higher Education and through the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development for community college capital construction projects. I've provided some information for you that I'd just like to let you know what's here. First of all, there are a set of amendments, the Senate Bill 5514-4 amendments. These amendments replace or essentially gut and stuff of the original bill, and they would, if adopted, include or incorporate language that is consistent with the leadership's approved capital construction budgets for higher ed and for community colleges. So these are the amendments here, and we can talk about them more if you'd like. I'd also like to show you or refer to a list here, a table, which is labeled 2005-07 Capital Construction Budget. This includes the limitations and the authorizations that are contained in Senate Bill 5514-4, only in a hopefully somewhat easier to see format than the actual draft language is. But you can see that there are a large number of projects that are approved. In this particular table, they are identified by campus or college. The first page includes a number of capital construction projects at the Department of Higher Education. If you go to the second page, that continues, and you can see that in total, the capital construction bill has in it approval of $410 million worth of expenditures on identified capital construction projects at the Department of Higher Education. Also, this bill includes authorization for seven capital construction projects at community colleges. This is the first time, or this would be the first time if you approve this, that the state would be providing bond support for community college capital construction projects since the 1979 legislative session. So it's been quite some time since this has been the case, and you can see there the seven colleges and the amounts. I would just briefly like to comment a bit about the financing of projects both at the Department of Higher Education and at community colleges. It's not my intention to go through each of these projects individually, but if there are any questions on particular ones, I'd be happy to entertain them. But if you look at the way that this table is set out, you can see that there are four columns that are sort of grouped together, and then there are two other columns that are grouped to the right of them. And there's significance in that grouping in that the expenditures identified in the four leftmost columns all represent expenditures that have impacts on the state general fund or lottery budget. The expenditures that you see in the two columns to the right of that, labeled Article 11F bonds and other funds, do not have direct impact on the state's general fund or lottery budget. These projects do have impacts on the campuses or colleges that are financing them, but they do not have direct impact on the state's general fund or lottery funds budget. If you look at the projects, you can see that in total, the budget would provide for the Department of Higher Education, I'm now looking at the second page of this table, $14.8 million in general fund for two purposes. One purpose would be for capital repair, code compliance, academic modernization and repair. This is an ongoing general fund appropriation to the Department of Higher Education, and this number essentially represents the amount that was provided last session, just increased slightly for inflation. The other item that includes general fund support is on the second page. There is $3 million in general fund that this would provide for Southern Oregon University's construction of a instructional facility in Medford that would be operated jointly with Rogue Community College. Article 11G bonds, the debt service on these bonds are paid by the general fund, so they have an impact on the state's budget. You can see that the budget would provide, it shows here, $48 million in Article 11G bonds for the Department of Higher Education and $38.5 million for community colleges. I must note that the Article 11G amount that is shown here, actually, though, we do expect the total to be $12 million higher than this is shown. So that would be $60 million. I'll explain in a minute why this number that's shown here isn't what we expect to eventually be the case. But
you said 60. I thought 38 and 12 was 50. What's the problem with that?
I'm sorry. I was taking the 50, the $48 million in Article 11G bonds that are shown here.
Okay.
And indicating that we do actually, the budget anticipates there being $12 million more in Article 11G bonds.
Oh, okay.
Expenditures to be approved by the emergency board.
Gotcha.
I now would refer to the chart here that shows historically the capital construction budgets as they have been approved over the last, including this session, the last three biennia and the current biennium, if you choose to approve this. And you can see here that the legislatively adopted budget, compared to the amounts that have been recently provided, is higher than, in many cases, it has been in the past. In this particular chart, the items that are shown, the amounts or expenditures that are shown in yellow, represent those expenditures in the two rightmost columns where there is not a direct state general fund or lottery fund cost to those constructions. The things in blue represent the amount that impacts the state general and lottery fund budgets. And you can see that compared to prior biennia, the legislatively adopted budget, if you choose to approve this, I sort of made an assumption that this is what's approved by the legislature eventually, but would include $14.8 million in general fund. It would include $100 million for an all-state supported bond for higher ed. Again, we expect that number to actually be $12 million higher once the emergency board actions are taken. So it's really going from $32 million last biennium to $112 million this biennium. And the amount that is shown there in the salmon color is the community college, bonds for community colleges. Of course, since there haven't been any issued since 1979, and my chart doesn't go back that far, this is the first time or first place in this particular chart where you see state-supported or state-paid bonds being issued. So in total, we see in the chart here there is approximately $139 million in state-paid bonds. Again, we do anticipate an additional $12 million on top of that, and that would compare to the levels that you see in prior biennia of 32.5, 89.7, 25.4. So this budget does indeed provide a significant increase in the amount of state support for capital construction over what we have observed in prior biennia. The particular projects that are shown here, there is a strong emphasis in both the Department of Higher Education's budget and in the community college capital construction projects on addressing deferred maintenance needs. So the deferred maintenance, there's the budget attempts to address deferred maintenance needs primarily, though there are additional new facilities that are also included in this capital construction budget. The $12 million that I keep referring to, I would like you to look at one particular project on this first page of the chart, and it's in the Oregon State University list, and it's about slightly more than halfway, about two-thirds of the way down that list. You'll see that there's an item indicated a new steam plant utility switch construction that has in total a $4 expenditure limitation provided for it. This is the steam plant at Oregon State University. There's been considerable discussion of this and considerable discussion of how it is very critical to Oregon State that they be able to replace their existing steam plant, which is no longer fully functional. The budget does only provide $4 of expenditure limitation right now because the final financing of the project is not yet settled. And the Department of Higher Education will need to come to the emergency board for this particular project once the financing is settled for authority to approve. And at that time, we'll see how the department proposes to finance the project. But in order to assure that there is a sufficient bond authority available to the emergency board, because the emergency board does not have authority to add or to authorize bonds for a project, it only has authority to limit how much of bond proceeds are spent on a project, what this budget does, along with the bond limitation bill that I believe will be on your agenda tomorrow, is it provides $12 million in Article 11G bonds and $75 million in a combination of energy loan bonds, Article 11F bonds, and financing agreement authority, even though the understanding is that only $25 million of that $75 million will actually be used. We just don't know yet, and the department does not know yet, which is the least cost alternative to bring forward. So that's the $12 million I keep talking about. We certainly do expect that $12 million in Article 11G bonding authority will be needed, and would expect that the E-Board would provide that during the interim. On the yellow page here, you'll see two proposed budget notes that the co-chairs of this subcommittee have requested that you consider to include with this bill. There are two, one which relates to the Department of Higher Education, and the second one which relates to the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development, and they deal with quite different issues in the two department budgets. The budget note relating to the Department of Higher Education refers to a situation of the request for Article 11G bonds. These are the bonds that have a state obligation to pay the debt service for projects for which the universities are out raising donations. Article 11G bonds require a one-for-one match. So many capital construction projects in the Oregon University system in recent biennia have been financed by a combination of Article 11G bonds and an equal amount of donation funds that campuses have raised in order to construct facilities. In this particular budget, there are a number of facilities where the donations have already been obtained or raised by the institutions, and the governor then proposed that the legislature provide the Article 11G bonds in order to match these donations so that the project could go forward. Upon reviewing the situation, there is concern that this isn't really a process that works very well for the state budget, and that it is important that the legislature have information and approve projects for donor match prior to the institutions going out and collecting donations for a project, as opposed to after that is already done. So what this budget note says is that no later than January 31st of next year, the Department of Higher Education shall report to the Emergency Board on then anticipated capital construction projects that are likely to require the 11G match, and identify those projects for which an Oregon University system has solicited or accepted pledges or contributions or expects to do so. What that sentence means is that the Emergency Board can expect to receive a report that would list all of the projects that the university, that the department is planning to request Article 11G bond proceeds for, that they are planning to partially finance as well from donations, and also a list with information of which of these projects have already begun soliciting donations and receiving donations. The Emergency Board, this will simply be a report, but the Emergency Board will be able to express any findings back to the department when this report is presented. Then, I'm going back to the budget note, and I think there are only two sentences in here, and this is the second sentence. Beginning with projects to be authorized in the 2009-01 biennium budget or later, the subcommittee expects the department to obtain authorization for Article 11G bond proceeds for the projects from the legislature prior to seeking or accepting donations for them. So the budget note basically looks at a two biennium phase-in of an expectation that institutions will not go and solicit funds for a project that also require Article 11G bonds without the legislature having approved there being the use of Article 11G bonds for them. Institutions, of course, will continue to be able to solicit funds if they do not require Article 11G match. In all cases, even if a project is 100% donor financed, you do need to approve it. finally, the other budget note is to the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. The co-chairs felt that since this was a major change in policy, the first time since 1979 that state bonds are being issued for community college capital construction projects, that they are asking you to adopt a budget note that expresses a decision of budget policy concerning capital, the state support of capital construction projects at community colleges. And if I may read this budget note to you, it says, the subcommittee approves the use of Article 11G bond proceeds for community college capital construction projects. The subcommittee considered the state's ability to fund debt service costs associated with these bonds and approved a level of Article 11G bond issue for community college projects that is projected to generate debt service costs totaling not more than $5.45 million per biennium. The subcommittee approves a budget policy that total debt service costs on all outstanding Article 11G bonds issued on or after July 1, 2005 for community college capital construction projects not exceed $6.5 million per biennium. So the policy that the co-chairs are asking the subcommittee to consider is one where capital construction projects may be supported at the community college campuses, but because of the state's budget situation and the need to preserve Article 11, its bonding authority, that the there be a limit of $6.5 million per biennium on the amount of debt that is being brought forward and being approved for community college capital construction projects. Let me comment that the debt service amount, the $5.45 million figure, is simply a projection. We don't know what the debt service will actually be until the bonds are sold and we know what the interest rate's going to be. But that is the projection we've been using. If that projection turns out to be if the actual bonds turn out to be more than 6.5% in debt service, because interest rates rise very rapidly before they're issued, then there would not be any remaining gap, or whatever you call it, or authority under this budget policy for there to be additional debt issued for community colleges. If the debt turns out to be as projected, it'd be slightly more than $1 million per biennium that is potentially there if the legislature chooses to fund additional community college capital construction projects. At current interest rates, that would relate to about another $7.5 million in capacity for debt. And again, if for whatever reason the projects that you are approving or would approve today do not go forward because the colleges do not raise the required match or for other reasons choose not to pursue this, then the debt service would not be the full $5.4 million that's being projected and would be some lower number.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Representative Morgan.
I move the dash four.
No discussion?
I think after the motion.
After the motion. I move the dash four amendments into Senate Bill 5514. I further move the budget notes relating to the Department of Higher Education and Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development into Senate Bill 5514. And I further move that Senate Bill 5514, as amended, be moved to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Morgan moves the dash four amendments be included in 5514 and moves the two budget notes to the Department of Higher Education and to the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development, and that the bill be reported out due pass recommendation. Discussion? Thank you.
Boom, I was fast on that.
Senator Carter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was concerned. I want to look at Portland State University, please, and I was wondering why did we not, or what were the circumstances around you not considering Lincoln Hall as a part of this project? As you know, these are very, very old buildings, and I was just like to know the context in which both of the co-chairs decided not to add Lincoln Hall to this project.
if I may, Mr.
Chair. Sure, go ahead.
I think that there were three Tier 3 projects, as we call them, that were open for discussion, the Lincoln Hall, Benton Hall, and Innslow Hall, a variety of campuses around the state. And with the debt service and the bonding that was considered more of a priority in the Tier 1 and Tier 2, felt couldn't quite go there. I think there was also some concern that with just the what appeared to be just the planning money, that probably wouldn't be sufficient to really get the job done in the long term. But I think there was a lot of interest expressed by myself and the other co-chair, particularly with some of the problems that Eastern Oregon was having, as you're probably aware of, that maybe this would be something we could revisit in the next plan.
Okay. Now, one other question, please.
Sure.
Even though we have some limitations on in terms of determining whether a university system go out and is going to need X1G bonds, so if the university decide, in the case of Lincoln Hall, that they wanted to help raise some dollars, and this question is to staff, that they want to go out and help raise some money to begin this project because delay in the project is going to cost another approximately $3 million. Does this limitation affect that raising?
Actually, Senator, it does. And when it is fully phased in, there is an expectation that if the institution intends to use these donations to match an Article 11G bond request, in that case, that would come into play. If the institution is simply raising funds in order to help address the problems on its own, there would not be a requirement for them to report prior to this. However, to the extent that the project that they are doing is a capital project, has a cost essentially of more than $500,000, they are required to get approval under existing law and under this budget note from the legislature before proceeding, even if it is 100% donor fund.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Additional?
Mr. Chair, I just have a quick question.
Sure.
On the community colleges, and what was the discussion or consideration, particularly interested in the capital construction request by Shenandoah Community College and why that wasn't a part of this?
I think there were submissions to us as to recommendations as to the priority of the funding of the various colleges and the community colleges, and the particular community college, Chemeketa, that you mentioned in the priority list provided from the community colleges simply was not high enough to get to the funding level that we felt comfortable that we could afford to do.
On the other hand, I want to give you kudos because I think the state has been very negligent in the past in not doing a better job of keeping our facilities up in terms of our community college system. And so to be the progressive co-chairs that decided this was worthy of us doing, I want to give you kudos for that, so thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Co-Chair, I think it's well noted that this is the first since 1979.
It is that, first since 79.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Representative Avakian.
Thank you. I want to, give a couple comments on regarding some of the concerns that I have with regard to the community college plan here, but then also some of the hope that I have based on what we're doing. It was some time ago that this body went to the community colleges and said, get together, figure out what your priorities need to be, and then come back to us with a list, which they have done and done quite well. Yet we've taken the list and we've moved one off the bottom tier up to the top tier, which I suppose would concern me since I would view the community colleges as probably having the best judgment on where that money may need to go. And they've got 17 schools that are really in dire need. And I guess I would offer the thought that even though it's good we're stepping up now after 26 years, that might be one of the reasons that we have 17 community colleges in dire need of the absolute basics and keeping their doors open for students. The other comment or concern, I suppose, is that I have a concern that maybe we have thinned the soup amongst the seven enough that it may be very difficult for them with the money we're giving them to complete the projects that they need to complete, and that that may thwart both their efforts and the efforts that we are trying to make in helping them to get where they need to get. Lastly, on the concern side, the lack of support for 26 years is disturbing, given that these are public institutions that fall under the jurisdiction of the state of Oregon, which I think in that respect alone, plus our statutory obligation to them, makes it difficult to assume that we would do that for 26 years to a public body. And the fact that we give them part of the money, in essence a down payment towards what needs to be done, and then ask them to go fend for themselves for the rest, gives me concern about whether or not we're where we need to be as a legislature, taking care of the public bodies that are under our jurisdiction. Now, all of that being said, I think it's a tremendous thing that the co-chairs have brought the community colleges back under the fold of the legislature and have made more than a gesture but an effort to get them funded and on the right track again. And in that respect, I think this is a very, very good day for this body and a very, very good day for the state of Oregon. Okay. Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Chair.
You. Additional discussion? Objections? Without objection, so ordered. Carrier, Senator Carter?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. That completes the agenda. I'll close the work session, and it concludes our agenda, so I'll close the hearing.